The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during these days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down for him. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put your Lord God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. It is written, "I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. When the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain." Where is it written? Does anyone recognize that quote? It's Dune. This is Frank Herbert's Dune, which was a seminal science fiction literature piece several decades old now. I read it today because our science fiction literature is often rich with vocabulary in a similar way to our scripture, with ways to seek understanding about being human and facing the trials that come with being human. Whether you know me or not, you may have noticed that there are two people in this pulpit. My husband Ryan and I are expecting our first child. We're entering our 34th week this week. And are at that place in our journey of pregnancy where we're beginning to recognize that between pregnancy and having our baby, there's an event called birth, which is a little bit, sometimes for some people, anxiety or fear provoking. And we are approaching this phase of our journey together with seeking to understand what does it mean for something so powerfully human and natural and beautiful to provoke fear? And what is the role of fear as we move through this stage of transition? Some of you may know or be connected to the current mindfulness movement, which seeks to encourage the reduction of fear and anxiety in life so that the natural process of being human in this world is unimpeded. In the birthing process, all of us have a sympathetic system in our head, which is triggering a fight or flight reaction when we are fearful. And this is really handy if you're having a baby and there's a saber-toothed tiger coming, and you need to slow or stop your labor so that you can run somewhere safe to deliver your child. In today's context, where we don't have a lot of saber-toothed tigers, it just impedes the process and increases suffering and slow labor for women who are seeking to deliver in a healthy, natural way. I share this story because our gospel text today is something of a labor story. It is a trial, it is a natural process and test with a birthing at the end of it, but one that could easily be marred by the human experience of fear. Our story of the temptation of Jesus, which many of us know well, comes immediately after, in Luke, the baptism of Jesus. And in today's text, we learn he is still full of the Holy Spirit, led by that Spirit into the wilderness where he is socially isolated, has no food, and for 40 days is tempted by the devil. I don't know if that stood out to you in today's text. The three temptations that are named for us come after 40 days of starvation and temptation and loneliness in an inhospitable land. Jesus is famished, he is exhausted, and he has faced 40 days of trial already. But there is a reason that these three temptations are named for us specifically. And so today we seek to know a little bit more about what that might mean. And I would like to suggest that each of these three temptations, in different ways, targets Jesus' fear about who he is, about what his power is in this world, and about love and the shape and the course of love in his ministry. These are powerfully human vulnerabilities, because each story where we read about Jesus, we should be asking ourselves, where does Jesus meet me in this story? How does this connect to where I am and what I face today, even though his reality was so different? He is challenged to feed himself in a situation where God is not providing him food. He is being invited to use his power based on his own authority and for his own purposes. We fear about power, you and I. Do I have any? Do I have enough? Do I have too much? Do I abuse the power that I have? Do I use it well? Do others around me abuse their power? How do I keep myself safe? He is challenged to take a different path. Basically, you're invited to bring about the reign of God. You could be the first fruit of a new creation. You could control all kingdoms and have all authority. You need only worship me. Jesus is challenged to trust God's path. We fear trusting God's path. Maybe if I just had a little bit more control over this, knew a little more about that. Isn't there a way to cheat conventional wisdom here? Maybe take a shortcut? I think I have a better idea. I think I could avoid some suffering that lies on the path ahead of me. Jesus is invited to test God's love. And the scripture, the devil has wised up by the third temptation. Jesus has quoted scripture to him twice, and now the devil's quoting it back. It is written, if you are the Son of God, God's angels will protect you. Jump off this temple. The angels will be there. Try it. If you're the Son of God, it should be fine, right? I'm sure no one in this room has put to the test someone that loves them. And yet we fear about love. Am I lovable? Am I loved? Do I love in the right way? Do I love enough? What is the way I love? What does that mean about me as a person? All of these are about our fears. and are succumbing to a spirit of fear in a time in which it will derail us from the natural path that we were meant to follow. As is true in the labor that brings about birthing, our process can be slowed or stopped, and we are prevented from clarity and purpose. I must not fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. Only I will remain. Jesus is filled by the Holy Spirit. This is a crucial point of the text. You too are filled with the Holy Spirit, as all God's children are temples of the Spirit living in them. And we are assured in Paul's second letter to Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit rather of power and of love and of self-discipline, of discernment. Jesus is 40 days in the wilderness, coming between his baptism and his announcement of ministry in Luke, is the refiner's fire that clarifies Jesus to himself. He is tested to see what is on his heart, and what he finds is not fear. It is a spirit of power and love and discernment, and the devil leaves him. And then a text that we have heard already in this season. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returns to Galilee. He unrolls the scroll and finds a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and to recover the sight of the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is a defining moment in the future course of Jesus' ministry and leads him through connection and healing and redemption ultimately to the cross and then to the tomb and then back to God. And he is so convicted in his reading that all eyes in the assembly are on him as he is seated. It's a powerful moment, shaped by the trial in the wilderness. So we, together, are entering the 40 days of Lent. It's a time of self-examination, of repentance, of following in Jesus' wilderness footsteps. And it is a time of refinement and discernment to lead us to greater clarity about our baptismal vocations in the world. We starve ourselves a little bit sometimes. Anyone here might be denying themselves chocolate or coffee for these 40 days. But primarily, this is an opportunity to face the things that we are truly afraid of. And there are many reasons we might be afraid in these days. But I encourage you to allow the temptations that Jesus faced to act as a lens by which to understand where you are tempted to succumb to fear, where your fear holds you back, and where experiencing the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit within you can lead you forward. For we are a people redeemed and justified, not by our own merits, but to free us from ego and self-obsession, to love and serve the world around us. We might say, as children of God, we must not fear. We will allow it to pass over us and through us. And only the Spirit that makes us one will remain. Amen.